Behold, he prayeth. This was God's own testimony to Ananias about Saul of Tarsus. Who was Saul? A Pharisee of the Pharisees, righteous in his own eyes, but a persecutor of God's children, breathing out threatening and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord. He was on his way with letters from the high priest to arrest God's children in Damascus. And instead, the Lord came and arrested Saul, showing him his ignorance, his sin, and all his foolishness. And see, there he was 3 days and three nights. And the Lord said to Ananias, behold, he prayeth. He was unconverted, and needed to be converted. Ananias could not believe it. But God's word is always true. Prayer is one of the first evidences of the new life. It is an unmistakable mark of grace. For then the Spirit himself breathes into the heart. And the heart begins to breathe out those prayers, those groans unto the Lord. Behold, he prayeth. And congregation, if now the Lord looks in your heart, if now the Lord would look into our inner chamber, if we have one, what does he now see? Shall he then also say, behold, he prayeth? There is the Spirit of grace and supplication at work in such a sinner. Does the Lord hear you in the night seasons? Does he hearken unto your groans and unto your sighs? That life of prayer is up, and it is so often down. But no matter how down that is, no matter how much it has vanished from the hearts of God's children, this is sure, the Lord shall come back and revive it again. And then by renewal it becomes my heart and flesh cry out to God. To him I spread my hands abroad. And then it is again, Lord, teach me to pray. But enough, congregation. This morning it is our desire to speak about a prayer, about a petition that came from the heart of the bride in the Song of Solomon. And may we now receive, or also receive light, that the same petition is in our hearts. Chapter 4 of the Song of Solomon, verse 16 is the text. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden, and eat his pleasant fruits. A remarkable petition of the bride. A remarkable petition of the bride. And we consider her petition to the wind. Her petition about the spices. And finally, her petition for the bridegroom. So three thoughts in that remarkable petition of the bride. It was a petition to the wind, about the spices, and for the beloved bridegroom. The fourth chapter of the Song of Solomon consists almost entirely of the words of that greater Solomon, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the spiritual bridegroom of his church, and that church is called the spouse or the bride. You also read the name Shulamit. And what does that greater Solomon now say about his bride? Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. And again, thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. That is such an incomprehensible word for that bride. In chapter 1, she has said herself, I am black. Black as the tents of Kedar. Unclean, filthy, loathsome. And that is how she had to regard herself. But now in that fourth chapter, the Lord made it so plain that the king greatly desired the beauty of his bride. And therefore he says, thou art all fair. Oh, that is now a testimony of his love, of his pure and faithful and everlasting love unto his people. And that is not because of her. That is now entirely flowing from him. And then he says about his spouse in verse 12, that she is a garden enclosed, is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up and a fountain sealed. So what does he say? He says that is a garden enclosed. That means there are no enemies coming into that garden. It means also that there are no strange lovers that lead her astray. No, she is a spring shut up. That is now that pure gospel water in that garden. That is for no one else, for no other place but that garden. And then it is a fountain sealed. And that seal confirms it. It does not mean it is closed, but it is now certified. That is now the fountain of God. And congregation, when the bride hears all these things that now the bridegroom says about her, then she cannot contain herself anymore. And then she breaks forth in verse 15, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams of Lebanon. What does she mean to say? If I am a garden, there is only one reason that it is a garden and that it flourishes. Because of my beloved one and he, that bridegroom, I call him the fountain of gardens, the well of living waters, and streams from the Lebanon. He is the source of all life, of fruitfulness, and the very fruits come from him alone. And see, then we come close to the text. And the bridegroom is near. And the bride has an opening at the throne of grace. Oh, her heart is fervent, and it flows out in love unto her bridegroom. And she makes a request, a humble request, am I a garden? And has the Lord now put those plants in that garden? And are there also fruits in that garden? Oh, that is a great blessing. You know them. But then the bride desires something else. The bride desires more. There is one thing, or rather one person, whom she desires. And we read it. It becomes manifest in verse 16. How does she begin? Awake, north wind, and come, thou south, blow upon my garden. Notice she is not speaking directly to her beloved one. No, instead she is speaking to the wind. And that wind congregation is a symbol, a token here of the Holy Spirit. As the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, the wind bloweth where it listeth. And thou canst hear the sound of it, but canst not see whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth. God walks upon the wings of the wind, says the poet in 104. And he bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures in Psalm 125. And so it is the person and the operations of the Holy Spirit that are mentioned here by the wind, the north wind, and the south wind. And therefore you read in Ezekiel 37, prophesy, son of man, prophesy unto the four winds of heaven. And now a wind can blow very gently, can come very calmly, but the wind can also have great force. That wind penetrates even into the darkest, deepest corners of the heart. And through the smallest openings that wind is able to pass through. Wind is irresistible. We cannot simply stop that. It is invisible, and yet the results, what that wind causes to happen, becomes manifest. And that wind also is free. It is sovereign. It blows, says the Lord Jesus, where it listeth. And it should not escape our notice that the bride speaks about wind in the plural. Why is that? The operations of the Holy Spirit are so diverse. They are so rich and so manifold. We read in Revelation about the seven spirits before the throne of God. There is a diversity of gifts of the Spirit, says Paul. Something else we must learn. Here the bride does not ask for the east wind, nor for the west wind, but she asks for the north and for the south wind. That east wind causeth plants to wither. That is what the Bible says in Ezekiel. It is a trouble and it drieth up the fruits. When Pharaoh dreamed, then he saw that east wind and it withered all the grain that he saw in his dream. So that is a wind of God's wrath and God's judgment. The west wind in the land of Canaan came from the Mediterranean Sea. And the Lord Jesus said, then when the west wind blows, then cometh a shower. That was a wind of storm. That was a wind often with lashing rain. It was a driving wind For it was a west wind that took all the locusts away in one of the plagues in Egypt. No. The bride does not ask for the east and for the west wind. But she says, awake north wind and come thou south. What does the north wind now do? The Bible says it in Proverbs. It driveth away the rain. Elihu, that friend of Job, says, fair weather cometh out of the north. What does it then do? Again, the Bible says that north wind scatters the clouds. So it clears the air. Everything is then purified. And what does that now tell us? What are we by nature? A stench in God's nostrils. An abomination for the Holy God. We are flesh as we live, and then we die. So it is nothing but corruption within and without. What is now necessary? For the first time or by renewal, that is north wind will begin to blow. That now the Spirit enters within and begins us to drive away everything that is evil and corrupt. Oh, then the Lord, then Peter speaks about purifying our souls by the truth, by obeying the truth through the Spirit. So that is now that north wind. What does that north wind then do? It drives away all the cloudy mists and all the pestilential stench that is in us and comes from us. All the harmful vapors and the clouds that give darkness and that give confusion, that bring separation. The clouds that also bring errors and all kinds of evil. Hindrances. And when that north wind begins to blow, oh, then that north wind will also begin to give knowledge. He makes the truth manifest. Then he gives light. Oh, then that north wind comes, and that is a wind that will clear up everything. It is often sharp. It is often cold, oh yes. But it enters within. Then it is that Spirit that convinceth of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And it humbles the soul. And that north wind causeth us to tremble before God. Then we bow before His holy majesty. Our evil, our corrupt nature is laid bare. And now the bride says, awake, north wind. That is not as if the Spirit is asleep. Oh, no. But she desires that Spirit to begin to blow so that she may feel it, that she may receive the effects of it. What does she realize? She needs to be stirred up. She needs that north wind to blow in her life. Oh, and then she desires, awake, oh, north wind. Are you acquainted with that north wind? Has it ever blown in your heart? But once that has happened, something else is necessary for that garden. Because that garden then is purified, at least for a while. And then that wind, another wind is necessary. Because we read it, come thou south. And what does that south wind do? Again, Elihu teaches us that. He says, the garments are warm when the Lord quieteth the earth by the south wind. two things. That south wind quiets the earth. The north wind stirs up. The north wind is that storm that can come. And that comes with great force. But now that south wind comes also irresistibly. But that south wind comes so calmly. That is a very gentle wind. That is the still small voice that Elijah heard on Mount Horeb. Then the Lord brings peace within the heart. Oh, then the storms will go away. And then for a while you receive some rest, like Israel in the wilderness received an Elim. Oh, then Elijah went to sleep in great distress and great discouragement, it is true. But what then also happened is the Lord sent that angel not to reprove him. No. But he came to wake him up, arise and eat. The cake is ready. The water is ready. That was now that gentle south wind that came blowing. And Elijah needed it for the second time. The Lord knows everything, people. He knows exactly what is now needed. Oh, when the disciples are upon the sea, then Jesus has to say but one word, wind, be still. And then the waves settled down. And there was a great calm. Then it is quiet, congregation. Oh, that is now such a wonder. When there is also a south wind. But not only does that wind give quietness. Remember Elihu, then the garments are warm. Yes. When that warm wind begins to blow, it drives away all the cold. And then that heart of ice begins to melt. And it begins to thaw out. And then God's love in the heart becomes so fervent. And then it is for the first time or by renewal that that wind warms the soul once again. And then there is love. And that is so fervent. And then I love God's word. Then I love God's testimony. And then I seek it. And then I desire to be instructed with it. Then I say, to whom else can we go, Lord, but that truth? I will never depart from it. That experimental truth. That wind, north, and now the south wind. Then I desire to walk in all the commandments of the Lord. Did it not happen to those two men on the way to Emmaus? There they left the disciples, discouraged, hopeless. Their Savior, whom they loved, was in the grave and he was dead. And then Jesus comes and you hear the north wind begins to blow. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all the things which the prophets have spoken. And then the Lord blew with that north wind. But that is not the only wind that comes then, people of God. Oh no. Because then they desired him to be in the house and he broke the bread. And there came the warm wind and then he was manifest unto them. Oh, then he reveals himself. Then for John and Andrew it was the 10th hour. That is such a gladdening, such a comforting word, congregation. Oh, the Lord is so good unto his people. It is not only the north wind, but it is also that south wind. And see, it is a comforting word we sent. But there is even more, because when there is now a garden, and it is purified, it is all fresh. And then that south wind begins to blow, remember. Then sometimes there comes a gentle rain along with it. You read it in Psalm 68. Then thou comest and givest a plentiful rain to confirm that inheritance when it is weary. Like copious rains in times of dearth, so shall his coming be. Oh, that is that south wind, because as gentle showers that cheer the earth, so shall his coming be. So shall he come to his people here. Come thou south. That is now a south wind that causes the fields and the pastures to grow. Then the plants revive. And then you see the flourishing taking place. What does that now mean, congregation? Come thou south. Is not the Holy Spirit everywhere? Oh yes, but there is a people that want to experience it. They want to have that nearness, because near him all is well. They desire to have that Spirit come in their heart. And then to blow upon this garden, she says. Blow upon this garden, Lord, breathe upon me. Upon that garden, because it is my garden. That means the garden of my heart. And I need that work. I need that operation of the Holy Spirit. I cannot do without that Holy Spirit anymore. And now in a wider sense, not only is the heart of God's people that garden, but is there not a church of God? Is there not a congregation of God? Is there not a world around us even? But now come and blow upon that garden. Oh, do not God's servants then at times when given ask, Lord, wilt thou awake, O north wind, and come, thou south, and blow upon this my garden? Congregation, we cannot do that, no. We cannot blow. We may testify as the Lord enables and gives strength and opportunity. It comes all from him, never forget it. But now that blowing upon that garden with that north and then with that south wind. Oh, that comes from him alone. What were the apostles doing? Praying for that wind of the Spirit to come on Pentecost. Oh, church of God, is it not to put us to shame? How little is this petition ours? Fathers and mothers, grandparents, for our children and for our grandchildren, awake, O north wind, and come thou south and blow upon my family. Blow upon the congregation. Blow in the world and blow especially in my poor, dry, unfruitful heart. See, that is the desire, that is the image of God's, that is written here in the text, the desire, I say, of that living church. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden. And then the second thought, that the spices thereof may flow out. The spices thereof may flow out. How does the bride now come to speak about this? What does she now mean with that figurative language? Picture then the garden. And there are plants rooted in that garden, watered in that garden, weeded in that garden. They are tended in that garden. And what is now the desire? Oh, may there come an increase. May there come a growth. May there come buds, may there come blossoms, may there come fruit in my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Oh, that is a wonder, is it not? Because it says that the spices thereof may flow out. Oh, again, that is in the plural. And that is not without significance, congregation. Because when the fruits grow, because of that fountain of living waters, and that fountain of gardens, that well of living waters, the streams from the Lebanon, and the north and the south wind, oh, then indeed, there shall be the spices flowing out. And what are they? They are now the graces of God's Spirit. For when the blossoms are on the trees and in the plants and the bushes, then you can smell that. But you can also smell that with the fruits, congregation. Oh, and now those various graces of the Holy Spirit are desired by the spouse. Shall we mention some of them? And shall you now examine your own heart whether you know something of those spices in your heart? Oh, there is a spice of the knowledge of God, who He is, eternal, holy, righteous, glorious, and altogether lovely. Oh, He has power and He has strength. He has mercy and He has loving kindness. Then all His perfections are those spices that are the graces of the Spirit that are then known by the Church of God. Then that God is high and that God is holy. That God is great and He is glorious. Oh, and then there come those blessings to know something of that righteousness and of that glory and of that holiness. And when those spices flow, people of God, how is it then in your heart? There is an esteem for that God. Such a high regard for that God. Then there is nothing but a bowing before Him. Is He not patient? Is He not long-suffering? Is He not full of mercy and full of loving kindness? What do you think? When Manasseh was converted by the Lord there in that dungeon, in that prison house, oh, then he acknowledged that the Lord, He was God. Now, then the spices of that knowledge of God began to flow from him. Then there is also a spice of confessing that blessed name of the Lord, to exalt Him because His name is worthy. Then that praise of Him is so glorious and comely. There is a spice of love to that truth, that experimental truth. Oh, then you can be in church, and perhaps you have never heard that minister. Perhaps you have never known that man. But if it is now that Spirit that flows in, then the spices begin to flow out. And if that enters your heart, you say, that is the truth. And from that I will never depart anymore. Oh, there is a spice of faith that is the work of God planted by the Holy Spirit. Then there is a spice in that person and he takes a refuge unto the Lord. He hides himself under the shadow of His wings. He leans upon Him. He follows Him. He loves Him and he desires to deserve Him in everything. Oh, there is a spice of that hope that is wrought in the hearts of God's children. That is an expecting And that is a being built upon that foundation of that faith. Because faith is then the evidence, that faith is then the, not the evidence, is that substance of the things hoped for. And then that hope is built upon it. And that hope does not make ashamed. And that hope comes in the heart when the love of God is shed abroad. Another one of those spices. And when that love of God is shed abroad, oh, there you have those three graces. Faith, hope, and that love. And then there are times that they say, oh, I love him, the fount of life and grace. He hears my voice, my cry, my supplication. And why do you love him? Because he first loved me. Oh, there is a spice of patience in all the tribulations. There is a spice that I will have long suffering, but also a loathing of all my sin. And I abhor everything that is evil and that is iniquity. It is a spice of humility. And there you see Job upon the ashes. There you see one upon the dunghill. Then you hear Abram, that man of God, that friend of God. I abhor myself in dust and in ashes. Then it is a spice of sinking. Sinking and sinking congregation. I become as nothing. Oh, then my pride is humbled. And that pride is laid so low. Oh, and then I hear that voice. And then my heart revives once again. Oh, it is a spice that I must be suffering and patient, upholding in all the afflictions. Oh, then I must bear the cross, deny myself, and follow him whithersoever that he goeth. Then there comes that spice of a tender walk of godliness. Then we become strangers and pilgrims here below. Then there is that godliness, not being conformed to the world. And see, then those spices flow out, and it is evident that is now a child of God, because that is one heavenly minded. That is now one with a sincere zeal for the Lord. Oh, congregation, wondrous are those spices, are they not? And there are a multitude of them. Oh, that is for sure. And now when the Spirit blows upon that garden, those spices begin to flow out. And it becomes so sweet. Oh, you can have bitter tears and sweet tears. And there you can have hunger and be satisfied. And you can have the abundance of God's house and be satisfied. And these are all now those spices of the Lord. Oh, the Lord gives a blessing. And at another time, then the Lord shows immediately what you are still missing. And what is now the character of all these spices? They are so rare. They are precious gifts by the Spirit. But one spice already can give that fragrance. Those spices also bring out the taste of the other graces. Those spices preserve, because the fear of the Lord causeth me to depart from evil. And now the bride says, may those spices begin to flow. Because when there is grace in the heart, it is not always in exercise. But the desire of the bride is that the spices may flow out. Oh, when the wind gives those spices, then it is like you come close to a rose garden. You can hear a complete stranger praying. That is also a spice. And if it is a prayer of a poor, begging supplicant in affliction, in need, and in groaning, oh, you say, that is now the spice that I know in my own heart, because that unites together. You see, then the spices begin to flow out. Then the grace is evident also unto others. And then you see that there is fruit. And there is a ripening of that fruit. And then the Lord is gladdened. And then the corruptions are purged. And then the neighbors are allured and edified. And the soul is also strengthened therein. Oh, if those spices are missing in your life, people of God, then it is not lively. And then the question must be asked, is there any life at all? Or is there no life? Is your heart like a valley of dry bones instead of such a flourishing garden? Oh, and therefore, congregation, people of God especially, that is now so necessary to beg for these spices to start flowing, that the Spirit to that end comes with the north and with the south wind. And for what purpose is that now? Oh, that is the third thought. But first we shall sing 198.